The number one characteristic of a false teacher then and today, 2 Peter 2:3. It talks about false teachers. It says, by covetousness, you know, the desire for more, covetousness is idolatry, remember? Covetousness, they will exploit you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and thank you for tuning in today. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's recent series from the New Testament epistle of 1 Timothy. Today's study is from chapter 6, and Pastor has titled this message, The Truth About Money. Now, Pastor.
Amen. This morning, as we look in Timothy, we've finally arrived at the last chapter. So I'm not going to cover the 21 verses, all of them. Of course, today we'll finish the next Sunday and so forth. But Paul is now bringing everything to a conclusion, if you will. Timothy's been commanded to remain in Ephesus, and we know from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, that he was to command those, the some, meaning the false teachers, who were teaching other doctrines, a different doctrine than the Lord Jesus Christ. They were teaching myths and fables and genealogies. And Paul said, Timothy, I command you, you stop them, meaning shut their mouths where they're not teaching lies. Amen? So we've come full circle, if you will. And so Paul is going to do something. He's going to take us back now to the false teachers. Timothy has set the church in order, you know, with prayer and honoring the widows and all the rest of the stuff that we've already learned, but we've come full circle. And this morning, we're not necessarily going to look at the first two scriptures in depth because we've covered them in so many of the other epistles. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the truth about money. Say that with me, the truth about money. Now, money's good, amen? Three of you? No, money, it's good to have money. It's just bad for money to have you, amen? So we're going to look at the truth about money. Do you know that there are over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible concerned with wealth and possession and riches? 2,000 scriptures. Not only that, 16 out of the 38 parables that Jesus taught have to do with money, possessions, and so forth. Listen to this one. Nearly 25% of Jesus' words in the New Testament deal with biblical stewardship, and 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospels deal with money. It's interesting, isn't it? Billy Graham put it this way. He says, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight or, you know, right, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Here's the deal this morning as we look at the truth about money. The truth about money is this. These some, which were the false teachers, they were lovers of money. Oh, what a sad thing to put your hope and your trust in money. Amen? Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing, loved one. So the truth about money, verses 1 and 2 now really connect us with last Sunday's sermon, and I did not have time to cover those, where we talk about, you know, we've honored the elders, we've honored real widows and so forth. Now these two verses in chapter 6 are about honoring slaves or bondservants, honoring their masters, all right? Let me just read it to you. It says, as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. There's that word again, all respect. The reason? So that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, Christians, let them, meaning the Christian master, not despise them because they are brethren. Don't think less of them now. He says, but rather serve them because those are benefited and are believers and beloved. In other words, they're loved by God. And then he gives the command, a present continuous command, by the way. He says, teach and exhort these things. Now, quickly, remember that when we talk about the slavery that's mentioned there, the Roman Empire, 60 million people were slaves, okay? You couldn't tell, if you walked down the street in Rome, you wouldn't know who was a slave and who wasn't a slave. Never equate that scripture with the horrible slavery that took place during the Civil War era. Amen? Yeah, that's not what this is talking about at all. In order to understand that text, it has to always be interpreted historically. And whenever we look at it in the real manner, the way it should be taught, in other words, we bring it up today, and a lot of pastors, and I've included, being guilty of teaching this, you know, where it's the employee-employer relationship. If we do that, we do not do justice to the text and we lose the power behind it. Because what Paul was saying in this verse, and I encourage you to go and listen to the sermon in Colossians 3 about this. It'll really clarify everything. But here's the deal. If back then God freed the slaves, amen? Jesus freed everyone. To be in Christ makes you free, amen? So, but the deal was this. It's that, you know, now that what Paul was saying, a revolution had taken place. For a person to be in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, there's neither slave nor free. We are all now one in Christ Jesus, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are, no matter what nationality you are, no matter if you're a slave or a free person. Amen? Now, so you can go back and listen to Colossians on that, because I want to get into what we really need to talk about this morning. And so Paul closes there at the end of verse 2. He says, Timothy, another command. I want you to teach and I want you to exhort these things. These things meaning chapters 1 through 5 and what we're going to cover now. And so, Timothy, you need to come alongside the church and exhort them. You need to encourage them. You need to teach them to obey the things or the commands that I have given unto you. And so that's what Timothy does. But he's now going to give a warning about those who love money, and that is the false teachers, the teachers of fables. And here's what he says. He says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, remember doctrine means teaching, so to the teaching which accords with what? Godliness. So these teachings, they promote, when obeyed, a godly lifestyle. But he does something. Paul says, if anyone, no matter who it is, we could bring it up today, no matter if you're a pastor, an evangelist, or a Bible college, whoever you are, if anyone teaches otherwise, anything opposite of what Paul has already taught on the gospel of Christ, he said he's in trouble. And you know what? You don't mess with the good news of Jesus Christ, amen? What did Paul say about those who perverted the gospel? He said, let them be accursed in Galatians chapter 1. So he's saying here, no matter who it is, if anyone teaches otherwise, if anyone doesn't consent to wholesome words, the word wholesome means in the Greek, it means healthy words, sound words. We get our word hygiene from that word. Now listen, he says, if anyone doesn't consent to wholesome words, then you're in trouble because you're teaching something then that contradicts the Word of God. And you know what happens when believers are being taught something that is not right, not true? It makes them sick. It makes them spiritually sick because they can't do the things they need to do. They're unhealthy because they don't have the true living Word of God. And then Paul says, if anyone doesn't agree with the sound teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter who it is, look what he says in verse 4. He is what? He is proud. That's the first characteristic, okay? In other words, they are inflated with pride. Now listen carefully. We're talking about money. And we know that the false teachers were lovers of money. Do you know that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, remember what Paul says? That the Spirit says expressly in the last days that perilous times will come, dangerous times, fierce times, savage times, and the times there which we're in even right now, it's not talking about famines and earthquakes and all of those things. It's talking about character in people's lives. And the first one is that they will be proud, but they'll also be lovers of money. And boy, that's exactly what we're dealing with then. We are dealing with the same thing today. See, money, we have heard this say, money makes the man. Money doesn't make the man. Money reveals the man, amen? And then he says, these guys, these false teachers, these that are proud, knowing nothing, they think they know, but they don't know anything at all. And you know why? Because of pride. Remember, we studied back in chapter 1, verse 7 of Timothy. It says about these false teachers. They're claiming to be teachers of the law, not teachers of the gospel of Christ, but teachers of the law. And listen to what Paul says, understanding neither what they say or the things which they affirm. So they didn't even know what was coming out of their mouth. They didn't understand it either, neither did anyone else. And look what the reason was. It says here, because they were obsessed. Only there in the New Testament, the word obsessed. But is obsessed with what? Disputes and arguments over words. Isn't that incredible? The word obsessed in the Greek means this. It just means to be sick. It's used as a metaphor in the Greek as someone who is mentally ill, like a person who is here, they're diseased, if they will. They have a disease, but the disease is a conflict within themselves over words. They fight over words. They're obsessed with words and so forth. For example, they could say, well, you know, Paul could be teaching, and say, well, you know, if any man desires to come after me, Jesus said, and he doesn't deny himself. You have to deny yourself. Well, the fact of the matter is they may say, well, that word deny, what does that really mean? Well, it really means that you disown self, correct? Luke 9:23, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Now, they might say, well, that doesn't mean that. So the reason is they're arguing, they're obsessed with arguing over words. It's a morbid sickness, literally. And it's hard to define what that word obsessed means in our language. So the outcome of their false teaching here is the opposite of godliness. Because their disease, they're trying to spread it to all the other believers there in the church of Ephesus, and look at the results. It says, from which come, meaning their arguments, they end up producing, number one, envy, so jealousy there in the body of Christ, strife, that word literally means quarrels and divisions in the body of Christ, reveling, they're slandering each other, and evil suspicions. So they view others as dishonest that doesn't agree with their false teaching. And then it says useless wranglings. That's an interesting word, useless wranglings. Do you use that one in a sentence lately? It literally means constant friction. In other words, there was an epidemic that they were producing there at the church at Ephesus, and it was an epidemic of quarreling over these words. And Paul says they're men of what? Corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a source or godliness is a means of gain. In other words, of making money. He says, from such withdraw yourself. You know, what's good is the Bible, how true it is. In other words, God doesn't care who he offends. He's the God of all truth, amen? God cannot lie. He says, if you are a false teacher and you're doing these things, he says, your mind is corrupt. Your mind is empty. Your mind is destitute of not a truth. Your mind is destitute of the truth. And the word destitute in the Greek literally means that you have been defrauded or robbed, all right? So somewhere along the line, as they listened to the Apostle Paul, these false teachers who were sitting under his instruction for maybe 3 years, they evidently, they were, of course, exposed to the truth of the gospel, but it was stolen away from them because they didn't believe. Does that make sense? That's exactly what they were doing. But I want you to see how empty their teaching was then and how empty this kind of teaching is today. They literally reduced the word of God. They were so devoid of truth, they reduced godliness to financial gain. What a sad, sad world. Let me give you some other translations. It says in the Message, they translated it this way. They, meaning the false teachers, they think religion is a way to make a fast buck. Here's another one, the Good News Bible. They think religion is a way to become rich. In New Living Translation, to them, a show of godliness. They're pretending a show. It's not real. A show of godliness is just a way to become rich. wealthy. So the false teachers, what were they doing? And they do it today. They were pretending to be turned on. Man, Jesus is my Lord. And they came across in their disguising themselves with all kinds of godliness and so forth. But the whole purpose was to gain support. They were smooth individuals. You know, a false teacher never comes up to you and says, hey, I'm a false teacher. I'm getting right. You know what I'm saying? No, they're deceiving. So the truth about money, the truth about it, and what a picture right here about those who love money. You know, those then and today, those who teach a different gospel, those who lie, who literally pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, their hearts are dirty. Their hearts are soiled. Do you understand? Oh, listen, loved one. And the reason, why is that? Well, we've already learned why. What did the Bible say? That their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Their conscience has been burned. It's numb. It's dead. Even the Holy Spirit can't penetrate it anymore. They're believers of lies. They believe the father of all lies. They're false teachers. Now listen carefully. The number one characteristic of a false teacher, the number one, if you want to discern, the number one characteristic of a false teacher then and today is money. Let me give you the scripture. 2 Peter 2:3. It talks about false teachers. It says, by covetousness, you know, the desire for more. Covetousness is idolatry, remember? Covetousness, they will exploit you. In other words, they're charismatic. They're appealing. You like being around these people, but the whole time they are taking advantage of the sheep. Does that make sense? They look at the sheep as a source of financial gain. So he says, by covetousness, they exploit you. And here's how they do it, with deceptive words. I have watched false teachers. It's incredible. And they'll be teaching the truth. The whole sermon is like, man, that is good stuff. But then what they do, somewhere in the sermon, there's God's truth, but then they slowly lay beside the truth of God a lie. And that's what they want you to catch. And it's so subtle the way that they do that. And if you're not alert, if you're not studying the Word of God and know the Word of God, you might, so that's true. I mean, people just, they don't expect a pastor or evangelist to lie. Amen? Amen? Yeah, that's not our first thought at all. And so, but it's so dangerous. The Bible says about false teachers in 2 Peter 2:14, it says they have a heart trained. That word, we get our word gymnastics. They work out, okay? They have a heart trained in covetousness. In other words, false teachers, they have trained themselves to be experts in greed. They want to rip people off. Why? Because they're not really true ministers. They're merchandisers. They're not lovers of God. They are lovers of money. Now, let me clarify. Not everybody that's on Christian TV or radio, if they talk about money or ask for money, doesn't mean they're a false teacher. Amen? Okay, I mean, that's very important. However, I remember years ago, I think he's passed away, and maybe he's retired, I don't know. I'm not going to give you his name unless you email me. But he was on TV, and I've never had anyone make me as upset as this man did, because it was always about money, always about money. And it was the man of God and money, the man of God. He's the man of God and money. You know what I mean? And so I'll never forget it. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, I have the Spirit of God on this. If you don't send in your money, your tithes right now to the man of God, that was him, to the man of God, you're going to go to hell. Honest. And when he said that, my wife and I, we were in the living room, I nearly fell over on the floor. I said, he didn't say that. He said, let me tell you again. And I said, he's going to tell us again. He said, if you don't give to the man of God, you're going to hell. And I went, oh my God, that is a false teacher. Do you understand? I don't even want to go there. I'm just going to leave it alone right now because I'm already upset. What did Paul say to do with those kind of people? He said, from such, those kind of people, withdraw yourself. Don't hang out with them. Don't go to their events. Don't even associate with them. Now, for those who suppose that godliness is gain, in other words, okay, I'm going to get rich here. Look what Paul says. No, he says, now godliness with what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. The false teachers had looked at everything backwards. But what I want you to see this, godliness, and then you see that word with, let's say that word, with. Okay, it says godliness is gain, but only when it is accompanied with contentment. What does that mean? Well, the word contentment there means to be satisfied. It means to be have self-sufficiency, if you will. But I'm going to explain that in a deeper way. Godliness is following the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in Christ-likeness. Amen? And not only that, if you're going to do that sufficiency and contentment, it only can come in Christ alone and in the benefits that God gives us. Amen? So that tells me something about this contentment here is great gain. The contentment that we're looking at in verse 6, it never comes from possession of external things. Matter of fact, that word contentment in verse 6 is only found two places in the Bible. Here in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let me give that scripture to you. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Let me tell you why. "That you always having," here's the word now, "all sufficiency," all satisfaction, all sufficiency. Watch this. "In all things," listen to the purpose, "may have an abundance for every good work." Now, listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 9:8, the sufficiency, the contentment, the satisfaction that is in that verse is external. Okay, it's the things that we need to carry on the good work of God in this life, finances or whatever. Amen? But contentment in verse 6 is the opposite. It's not external. It's inner. Okay, it's inner contentment, inner sufficiency. It's not self-sufficiency. It's Christ sufficiency. That word, listen, sufficiency means adequate resources within. Jesus Christ is the source of all of our resources. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:5, it says that our sufficiency is in God or from God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not from us." Are you content? Did you know, I understand contentment. I really do. You know, sometimes we can just be content. I'm going to sit out on the porch swing. I have my iced tea. You know what I mean? Little lemon. You know what I'm saying? And you just, maybe that swing going, and you're just happy. The birds are singing, you know. You know, until you hear the neighbor's next door dog going crazy and barking and for 20 hours, you know. Contentment is something that we have to learn. We have to learn by the power of another. It's supernatural, really, I believe. Let me give you the reason I know it. Godly contentment must be learned. Let me tell you what Paul said about it. In Philippians 4:11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need." And now he says, "For I have learned," say that word, learned. "I have learned in whatever state, whatever circumstance, whatever is going on in my life, I have in whatever state I am to be content." You mean, Paul, you were in out there in that water shipwreck 3 days, 3 nights. You looked like a prune. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Paul says, "I'm content, no matter what my circumstance, no matter what my situation." It's not self-sufficiency. He says, "I have God's sufficiency." Amen? He says, "I've learned to be content." And listen, as a result now, he says about learning, he says, "I know how to be abased. I know how to live without." He says, "And I know how to abound. I know how to live in prosperous times because I've learned." He says, "Everywhere, in all things, I have learned to be both full, to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." Listen, what did Paul just say? He says, "I've learned something. I've learned that the things that are going on around me don't control my life. That the things going around me don't control my destiny." Amen? And he says, "I've learned that I'm not mastered by conditions or circumstances. I am mastered by the Master in heaven who loves me and gave himself for me." Contentment, loved one, is found in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, John 15:5, "Without me, you can do nothing." Money. The truth about money. You know, the writer of Hebrews in 13:5 said this, "Be free from the love of money and be content. Be satisfied with what you have, For the Lord God himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold upon you. You see, we don't have to worry if God has us. Amen?
Well, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program. And we do encourage you to join us again. Amen? Thanks, everyone, for listening along with us today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.